My guest at this time is Larry Haas. He is a former communications director for former Vice President Al Gore. He's now a senior fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council. He's a columnist and recently wrote a piece for U.S. News and World Report, which focuses on his concerns about how the Obama administration is approaching the framework and a possible formal deal with the Iranian government over its nuclear program. He says there's some disturbing historical precedent here, and he's also here to talk about some of the latest developments with this particular deal. And Larry, it's always good to have you with us.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Greg.
Well, obviously, we've seen a lot in the last several days about how the two countries, the United States and Iran, have presented this to their own people. The United States with their fact sheet saying that basically we've gotten everything we hope to get here. The Iranians are saying, no, everything on that fact sheet is basically not what we agreed to. The United States is being devilish. They're a bunch of liars. And we'll see what happens come June on this. So what can we glean from this framework? Is one of the two sides essentially telling the truth here, or are both sides just trying to spin to their own people?
I suspect it's more of the latter. Let's keep in mind that we're talking about a framework as opposed to a deal itself. Both sides put off very crucial questions about the timing with regard to the lifting of sanctions, the precise number of centrifuges that Iran would still be allowed to have, where enriched uranium will actually reside. Remember, there were proposals previously about shipping it out of the country. Now the Iranians don't want to do that, and the negotiators decided to punt on that. So I'm not terribly surprised that we are seeing different interpretations by the two sides. I think I am far more disturbed by the kind of rhetoric that's coming out from the supreme leader of Iran, who, after all, at the end of the day, will have the final say. And he is now making demands for a final deal that if the Obama administration were to go along with them, it would be akin to simply giving the Iranians a nuclear weapon.
Larry, in your column, you paint a comparison to the Nixon administration and then following that, the Ford and Carter administrations on how they addressed the Cold War and the immediate aftermath of Vietnam and how that attitude ultimately was not a very smart approach. Explain what happened then and why you think it's an important parallel to what's going on now.
Well, like President Obama, President Nixon essentially subscribed to the view that the United States could not be alone as the world's major power center, that rather than fighting the Cold War, we ought to pursue détente, and a détente that would allow the United States to be perhaps the first among equals, but literally among equals, others including the Soviet Union, Europe, China, and Japan. And that is not something that I believe the American people or its leaders over time subscribe to. We are a country that believes, and we have since at least World War II, believes that the world is a better place when the United States, more than any other power, calls the shots, ensures regional stability, and in essence keeps other players in line. And not surprisingly, after the Nixon and Ford and Carter period in which this kind of policy was pursued, we saw a reaction in the form of an election of President Reagan and his successors, who subscribed to a far different view of, and I would say a more traditional post-World War II view of America's role in the world. I do believe that no matter what happens with this nuclear deal, which is in essence rests on a view that we should allow Iran to rise as a regional power, no matter what happens over the next year and a half, I do believe that the next president, whoever he or she is, will not continue this policy and will return to a more traditional view of America's role in the world.
Larry, it was in the Clinton administration, of course, that the concern over North Korea's nuclear ambitions came about. There seemed to be safeguards in place after those negotiations. North Korea ultimately got the nuclear weapon anyway. Do you sense that lessons have been learned a generation later, or are we kind of going down the same path here?
Well, we always want lessons to be learned, and we always seem to not learn them as well as we should. That path was pursued early in the Clinton administration. I would argue before President Clinton really got his sea legs as a good, you know, foreign policy leader. I don't know that if it was in the fifth or sixth or seventh year of the Clinton administration, the same kind of policy would have been pursued. I do think we're heading down the same path, a path of too much trust for a regime that I would argue is implacably anti-American, anti-Israeli, anti-Western, and that is the regime in Tehran. So I do fear that we are making the same mistake.
Larry, a couple of different analyses of the negotiations so far have been puzzled over the fact that, to as far as we know, nothing has been brought up to the Iranians about their efforts to dominate the region right now, whether it's in Iraq, whether it's in Yemen or other places around the region, and also no efforts apparently to free Americans currently imprisoned there. The United States government right now seems to suggest those are ancillary issues that shouldn't cloud the larger nuclear deal because that's the thing that needs to be dealt with right now. What's your sense?
Well, my sense is that it is precisely absurd to think that way. After all, we here in America do not fret over the fact that the British and the French and the Chinese and the Israelis and even the Pakistanis and the Indians have nuclear weapons. We do not fret over that because those regimes, those governments, are not radical in the way that the regime in Tehran is. It is precisely because Tehran is the leading state sponsor of terrorism in the world, and precisely for the fact that it abuses the human rights of its own people and any other area that it dominates, and precisely over the fact that it wants regional dominance, that we fear what this regime will do if it has nuclear weapons. So to separate these other issues as ancillary is precisely besides the point. They are central to our concern over this regime getting nuclear weapons. And to make a final point, the fact that we now view them as ancillary are all concessions to the Iranians, because when these negotiations began, they were central to the negotiations themselves. We basically said this is part of an overall negotiation having to do with nuclear weapons and other issues that are troubling us, like the Iranian ballistic missile development program and terrorism and regional dominance and all the rest. So the fact that we've given up on all of these issues is both appeasing as well as really self-defeating.
Last topic for you, Larry. We talked about the Bill Clinton administration. Hillary Clinton, of course, announced on Sunday that she is a candidate for the Democratic nomination next year, to no one's surprise. She was Secretary of State in the first 4 years of the Obama administration and in some ways helped set the table for these extended talks over nuclear development in Iran and so forth. If she were, in fact, to become president, do you suspect that she would largely carry the Obama administration policy forward, or do you think we would see a very different approach?
I think we would see a markedly different approach. She will not be able to say on the campaign trail precisely how much she would differ from President Obama, because it would undercut her Democratic support. So it's going to be very tricky for her. But I would suggest to you that she really spent much more time when she was Secretary of State beefing up the sanctions against Iran, which was precisely the right policy. And it was really President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry, her successor, who have pursued this policy of lifting the sanctions temporarily, negotiating a deal, and making one concession after the next. So I do not blame Secretary of State Clinton for this. And to answer your question, I do believe we would see a markedly different strategy with regard to Iran and with regard more broadly to America's role in the world than we've seen with President Obama.
Larry, it'll be fascinating to watch on all these different fronts. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for calling me.
You bet. Larry Haas is former communications director to then Vice President Al Gore. He's now a senior fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council. His column on what he calls Obama's ill-advised gamble towards Iran was published by U.S. News and World Report. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.